good? All right. So this is, we're in the on a Lenten journey. We're on a Lenten journey, and you know, normally during this period of time, I try to do a pure Lent talk. But as I read what some other ministers were saying, not necessarily Unity ministers, but other ministers were saying, there's only so much you can say about Lent every year. So we are going to be talking from that perspective, because it's called, this whole journey we're doing is called the spiritual preparation for Easter. And so we are moving towards preparing ourselves to enter into the mindset of the Christ, which is really what this is all about. Also, today in that fasting and feasting, the Easter Lent book, today's heading is understanding the mystery of God in you, all right? So it is going to be the nature of this talk, is understanding the mystery of God in you from the perspective of, and all of us have this experience when, you know, you have these things where a little voice in your head says, you're thinking, trying to do one thing, and it's telling you to do another. You know what I'm talking about? There's sort of this inspiration inside of you that says, oh, this is the way you really should be doing it, and sort of learning to listen to that. So this is kind of what that's going to be about. And we're going to talk about what battles are created between what you want to do and what that little voice is telling you to do. Okay. So listen to this. This is taken from a Daily Word. It says, and it's paraphrased sort of, you will have more time to do what you want to do and act out however you want to act out if you never acknowledge the call of God from within you. Let me say that again. You will have more time to do what you want to do and act out however you want to act out if you never acknowledge the call of God from within you. That's that still voice that says, no, you may not want to do that. Okay. And it goes on to say, but once you receive the inner calling, the memory of what God asks of you will always be there to prod you to do God's will and not your own. You will no longer be able to do God's work purely on the basis of what makes common sense, because you will be driven to serve beyond the boundaries of what makes sense. Common sense chooses our own judgment as our guide instead of choosing Jesus Christ to be our guide. Never consider whether or not you are of use to God. Rather, always remember, as it is written in 1 Corinthians 6:19, you do not belong to yourself, you belong to God. And if you think about the idea, what do you mean I belong to God? Again, if I use the wave in the ocean, if you think about this is the ocean and we're all waves in the ocean, well, the wave belongs to the ocean. The wave in and of itself has no power. It all belongs to the ocean. And so that's the same thing with us. We belong to God. And so when we say about, you know, following the guidance of Jesus Christ is sort of like an archetype in the consciousness of mankind. Anybody know what I mean by that? So we have these archetypes in our consciousness, and we call it Jesus Christ, but it's called the... that went out of my mind. Anyway, let's just call it the God self. God self, and I use that term because in different cultures, they have their own Jesus Christ. You follow what I'm saying? They don't call it Jesus Christ, but they have their own, and there's a term. It'll come back to me in a minute. Anyway, so the daily reading is suggesting that for most of us, spirituality is a partial-based practice, you know, and we do it based on whether or not this spiritual idea that we're getting ready to practice makes sense, all right? And so we are constantly balancing our will against God's will. We balance what we want to do against what God is trying to do through us, okay? And the purpose of prayer is the surrendering of our will so that God can do a wondrous work through us. So a lot of times when we get this inner inspiration, it says, you know, maybe you should do it this way, or, you know, maybe you should suggest or whatever, and you got that feeling going, is that it's, and you're saying, well, no, that's not really what I want to do. The activity of spirit within you is trying to move through you, and we are arguing with that process, okay? And we have to remember, God can only do for you what you're willing to allow God to do through you. But quite often, common sense causes us to block the activity of God, which is seeking to work through us. Why? Because quite often, what God is seeking to do through us just does not make sense to us. Okay? And so we continue to pray without understanding, asking for factual answers that make common sense. So when we pray to God, we're really not praying to God and we're open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. We're praying to God and saying, whatever you tell me, I have to be able, it has to make sense to me. Okay? And again, you know, God's answers are divine possibilities based on infinite potentialities that elude the understanding of common sense. So the need for facts based on what makes sense can be limiting when it comes to working with God. Infinite possibilities transcend fact and common sense. Right? And common sense is limited to what is known to be possible, but through faith, we can know that with God, all things are possible. Right? And again, that's a common term we hear all the time. We know with God, all things are possible. But in order for that to happen, we have to be able to break free of the answer or the guidance we get as making common sense, all right? Or based on some fact that we can understand or know, all right? So again, I stated, if your life is based on fact rather than faith, you will miss the divine point, okay? And Jesus emphasized this idea of faith over fact when he expressed in Matthew 6:30 through 34, a verse you all know, but I've cut it down. It says, oh, you of little faith, do not worry about your life. Instead, first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the things that you need will be given to you. Now, seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, what we're looking to do is move beyond common sense or the limitations of the intellect, which says, based on what I know and I can do, this is the kind of answer I'm looking for. Okay? So when you're seeking his kingdom, as it says in Scripture, you're seeking to step into the virtual realm. You remember, right? Virtual, quantum, physical. Everybody okay? So the virtual realm is infinite potentiality. Who was that? Maybe you, Pam and I were talking yesterday about, oh, if Michael Jackson was still alive, what kind of work would he do? And I said, you know, if Steve Jobs was still alive, you know, these great inventors, what kinds of things would we be enjoying now? Because a person like a Steve Jobs or Michael, these highly creative people, they were constantly tapping into the virtual realm, right? Pulling ideas into expression that we had no clue of before, you know, they brought it into our thing. So that's sort of this idea of seek ye first his kingdom, which means you're seeking to enter into that realm that transcends the common sense. So if you're more fact-filled than you are faith-filled, this truth statement will not make sense to you. You will doubt its ability to work in the factual reality in which you presently live. The idea of, you know, do not worry about your life. All right. Now, it's not saying just to be haphazard, but it's saying as you move through the process of what you're trying to create, don't worry about the steps you're taking. You will be guided when you are truly open to God's living spirit of truth. I'll probably keep saying that for a while. And for emphasis, I'm going to say again, we will not be able to embrace the truth in this scripture and live by it because truth statements such as this are not based on common sense. They are not based on fact. They are instead grounded in faith, faith in God, faith in the Holy Spirit, faith in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Okay? And yes, it's a fact that we have a variety of needs in our lives based on fact. You may every one of us say, but I need this and I need that and I need this. Yes, that's, you know, we're not negating that. But the divine process is about getting into a place in consciousness where we do not allow the fact to diminish our faith that these things can and will be taken care of in ways that we know not of. All right? And so, again, our common sense can be baffled by this. So living by common sense alone limits the channels through which your good can flow. All right? And what happens when your common sense gives out? Let me tell you, what happens when your common sense gives out, okay? When you come to the end of your common sense rope, what happens when you find yourself in a situation you do not understand or a situation you can't figure out because it's beyond your knowledge or experience?
What happens when you're so filled with doubt and fear that you feel paralyzed and baffled as to what to do? All right? So how many of us have prayed that prayer, Father, please help me because I do not know what to do? All right? Or just, Lord, help me. All right? And that is, you know, we might use it as an expression, Lord, help me, but that is a prayer. All right? And I know every one of us at one time or another have reached a place where common sense ended, and then we had to turn to faith in God. All right? So a lot of times for us, it's a last resort. You know, it's like the ego saying, well, I got this. And a lot of times the ego does have it, but it has it in its limited, you know, realm. You know, it keeps us, like you said, stuck in a box. And so what we're striving to do is break free of that. So the key here is that when you learn to live by faith, you do not find yourself in a place of desperation. Learning to live by faith grooms us to understand that God is our true source of supply and that we'll always be guided to take the right action. We'll be guided to go to the right places, to talk to the right people, and to do everything, all the things we need to meet our needs will just be orchestrated. Have you had that happen to you? You know, where you said, man, I wouldn't have been able to figure that out on my own. But because you were open and receptive, you were guided into these different places. And so faith brings us to that place within ourselves where we come to understand that we need not worry, as the verse said, because we will know that our Heavenly Father knows exactly what we need and when we need it. And it will be provided. So Jesus is asking this in this verse, are the material things in your life where your faith lies? I mean, for most of us, we have to say yes, right? Okay? When our stuff is good, we're good. When our stuff ain't good, we ain't good, right? So we all know that it is possible that, in the outer things of our lives, they can disappear in a minute, all right? But if the foundation for the material things in your life is grounded in faith, knowing that God is the source of your supply, then dissolve or not, you still will know that you're going to be taken care of. All right? I wonder how many people freaked out, not necessarily here, but just in general, when the stock market crashed over this coronavirus thing, you know? And then what did it, next day it came back up? You know, but how many people freaked out when that happened? Of course, the real true investors, they didn't pay any attention. But, you know, for a lot of people, they would say 401ks were, you know, suffering and blah, 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 you know. So, however, I agree that quite often mystical ideas that we're studying in Scripture really don't make sense to us, you know, in the basic essence of the reading of Scripture. One of my colleagues was quoting Scripture to me the other day, and I said to her, do you know what that means? And she just walked away. All right, and because that's what we'll do. We'll quote it because it sounds good, but we don't really, you know, a lot of people don't really know what it means. So the key here is you really have to get into essence. So Bible interpretation on Scripture can so defy our limited understanding of the mystical life that it causes us to doubt the validity and reality of those applications in our everyday life. In other words, you're reading the Scripture, it sounds good, but you say, I can't apply that in my life, all right? And so the key here is to get to understand how does that work in my life? So Scripture without daily application, lifetime application, really does not make any sense. So that's why, you know, in Unity and others, we try to understand what is the real essence behind that? Because we doubt a lot. Was it just me? Okay. And we worry a lot. All right. No matter what we say, we still get caught up in worry. It always hits me about 2 o'clock in the morning, you know. So it's like this stuff happens. So we're like the disciple Thomas. We want proof that Jesus Christ is alive and real and working to support and supply us and guide us through the many challenges in our life. We want to know that Jesus is really alive. Okay. Now again, when I say that, I like to make statements that take us back to our roots. Our spiritual roots, our religious roots, but at the same time, understanding that the idea that Jesus Christ is alive, which means that all those concepts that were taught are still alive and active, okay? But we must understand that mystical truths that have survived the test of time are not based on common sense. Rather, they're based on spiritual sense that transcends and defies our common sense. Is that, everybody really understanding that? Okay? So if you're going to live the spiritual life, you have to, at the same time, have the courage to know that it's not always going to make sense to you what it says, okay? Or the message that you receive. So working with faith to gain spiritual understanding is a full-time job. Now, it is my full-time job, and I still have a hard time with it. So it's a process you got to keep working with, all right? It's a process of gradual surrender. As Paul said, I die daily. So to grasp